Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. It's good to be here and worship together this morning. We think of this morning as being our council meeting service. So I greet you in the name of the one the scripture says increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Thinking of Jesus, we think of the end of Luke chapter 2, where it talks about that. But the verse, a few verses ahead of that, it says, Jesus was responding to his mother or his parents. He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I believe if we are going to expect growth in our Christian lives, we're going to have to be about our Father's business. So this morning I've titled the message, Thinking of Our Council Meeting Service and Thinking of Examining Oneself. I've titled the message, Spiritual Health and Growth, as we have here the title, Spiritual Health and Growth. And what I want us to think about this morning is spiritual health is essential. So examine yourself looking for growth. About every 2 years, I have to go see the doctor because my license is a CDL license. Not that I do a lot of truck driving, but I'm licensed for that. So I have to go to see the doctor about every 2 years to get what they call a physical. Not that they check a whole lot, but you know, we go through the motions and we make sure I'm still breathing. We make sure everything looks okay, making sure I'm still healthy. And just, yes, making sure that there are signs of life there, making sure I'm not going, you know, pass out going down the road, hopefully. We could also think of a growth chart. Maybe you have one at your house. Maybe there's one at school. But we think of maybe behind a closet door or on the wall somewhere, we think of a chart. And there's a very important to us as little children. We like to check our growth maybe yearly, maybe every school year, maybe at the beginning of the school year, maybe at the end of the school year. But we like to check for growth. And that's, you know, very important as a child. We want to see if we're growing. We want to see if we're maturing, see if we're getting tall as our peers or getting tall as the next person or, you know, getting past 6 foot or whatever our goals are. We want to grow. We want to make sure there's growth there. As we think of council meeting and the familiar verses that normally go along with that, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And we see that word reprobates, and what does that mean? Well, the Pictorial Bible Dictionary would give the definition of the basic idea in reprobation is that of failing to stand the test. Man in sin is reprobate, disqualified, disapproved, and rejected because he cannot stand the test of holiness. And listen, here's the key. Only in Christ's righteousness may he be approved. So this morning we will take a test, as it were, to see if we are in the faith. Also a familiar verse, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, thinking of examining ourselves in light of communion, to test, to try, to discern as a definition of examine as it is used here. So spiritual health is essential, so let's examine ourselves looking for growth. I would like to take you to Paul's introduction to the church at Colossae that we find in the book of Colossians, the first chapter. We will look at the first 14 verses, but we see what he desired for this church. We see that he desired growth for this church. As you're turning there, a little background into this church to help us get a glimpse into the setting we have here. Information here from the Bible Dictionary would describe this city of Colossae as standing on the most important trade route from Ephesus to the Euphrates and was a place of great importance in early times. It is thought that this church was started on Paul's third missionary journey, not by Paul, but by a man named Epaphras, who would have been a native of this little city town of Colossae. It is thought he would have been converted under Paul's ministry there at Ephesus. And it seems here that now Epaphras had come to Paul with a letter describing the condition of this church here at Colossae. It seems that some doctrinal errors had come into the church, and this was the reason for his letter, this letter to the Colossians by Paul. And as one study source put it, talking about these errors, these heresies tended to obscure the divine glory of Christ. And we can flip a page over to chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We could think of the key verses for this whole book of Colossians. And it makes sense of why Paul was preaching what he was teaching as he wrote this letter, because of these heresies that tended to obscure the divine glory of Christ. He writes in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he says, "For in him," talking about Christ, "for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." So we have here Paul telling them that all they needed was Christ. If you back up to verse 8, he had told them to beware of the philosophy and vain deceit, the tradition of men, these things that they did not need. They did not need these things that were obscuring the divine glory of Christ. Christ was all they needed. They, along with us today, have all we need in Christ. And we can see that also in verse 8. The things that maybe we're trying to spoil them as a church, the philosophy, the vain deceit, and then these things were not after Christ. So what I want to look at this morning is how Paul encouraged the believers here at this church at Colossae, and how he seemed to appreciate their faithfulness in the present. But he seems to not only appreciate their faithfulness there in the present, but he seemed to encourage them. He wanted to see them experience more growth in their lives. There in the first part of the chapter, he calls them saints and faithful brethren in Christ. His prayers were with them, and he thanked God for them. And he wanted them to keep growing. He wanted them to be filled. He wanted them to keep maturing. Are you looking for growth this morning? Are you content just to stay at the bottom of the growth chart in your spiritual life? So Colossians 1, verses 1 through 14, we'll read that at this time. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And we say, praise God for the redemption we can experience through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we just thank you so much for the blood of Jesus that can deliver us from these powers of darkness and bring us to the light. Lord, we want your Spirit to be here with us this morning as we think of examining ourselves, looking for growth. We thank you for your word, and we want to grow more in your likeness and increase in the knowledge of you, our Father. And we want your will to be done in our lives. Amen. So spiritual health is essential. So examine yourself looking for growth. I would like to think of growth, as our outline shows here. Growth is God rejuvenating our walk to heaven. And I know that's a R word we don't use very often, but I like the definition of it. And rejuvenating would give the idea, or the definition of that would be, is to breathe in new life. And we could ask the question, is God rejuvenating our walk to heaven? Or we could say, are we letting God rejuvenate our walk to heaven? So I would like to go through here and look, and I have some, the board wasn't big enough here. I have a kind of, this is the first point, and I have something that goes along with each one of these. But we think of God has to always come first. And I believe for growth, as we think of spiritual health and growth, if we want growth in our lives, we have to start at the beginning, as it were, with God. God has to always come first. So God has to come first, and I say for spiritual growth to happen. If we want spiritual growth to happen, God has to come first. Verse 3 and 4 in our text, Paul here says, he talks about giving thanks to God and our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was always praying for these people, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have of all the saints. There in verse 3 where it says, we give thanks to God and the Father. Is God our Father? As we think of growth, and I believe, I didn't maybe catch the verse that the preschool class said, but I believe it's the same verse, Exodus 20, verse 3. Was that the verse? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And this was, we think of the first of the Ten Commandments. And do you think it's just coincidence this is the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How often, we could say, first of all, how often do we, or how often did the children of Israel struggle with that first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So as we think of growth, God has to come first. We cannot have other gods in front of God. We cannot have little gods, you know, in our lives hindering our growth. We have to have God first. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So as we think of growth, who are we putting first in our life? Are there small gods in my life hindering my growth? So as we think of putting God first, we could go over to Colossians 3, verse 17. We didn't really have time to read the whole chapter of Colossians, but it would all went well with this thought of growth. Colossians 3, verse 17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So the thought of whatever we do, whatever word or deed, whatever we say, whatever we do, I believe if we have this kind of desire and diligence in our life, we will be set on a path of growth that will take us closer to the Father. So as we think of no matter what we do in life, and sometimes we can maybe separate parts of our lives. You know, I go to church on Sunday, I go to work Monday through Friday or Saturday, and you know, I'm in that mode. But here it talks about no matter what we do, whatever we say, whatever we do, do all to the name, name of the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe growth can happen when we let the Lord direct our paths. The opposite can happen when we lean on our own understanding, as it says here. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe growth can happen when we let the Lord direct our paths. So for growth, God must come first in my life. Spiritual health and growth, God has to always come first. Thank you, brother. Rejuvenating. For growth to happen, we must let God rejuvenate us. God breathing in new life. Are you letting God breathe in new life into your spiritual life? God breathing in new life. Growth can happen when we allow God to breathe in new life into our lives. And we go to our text here to verses 5 and 6, where he talks about the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard," talking about the people at Colossae there, "whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew of the grace of God in truth." These people sounded like they were letting God rejuvenate their life. They were taking the gospel, they were taking the good news that they had received, and they were letting it bear fruit in their lives since the day they had heard of it. It seems like they were on a path of continual growth. So as we think of God being first, we need to let God breathe in new life to us. We think of first receiving new life as being born again. We know the familiar chapter in John 3 where Jesus said, "Ye must be born again," as his conversation there with Nicodemus. Also thinking of John 15:5, where we have the chapter of abiding in Christ. Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Only as we stay connected to this source of our strength can we expect new life to be breathed into our lives. We think of a broken branch, a broken tree, as something that is hanging off, barely hanging on. It is not receiving the life that it needs to from the actual source of strength. It is becoming slowly, it's becoming slowly disconnected. It is about to fall off. As we think of in our spiritual lives, if we want growth, if we want God breathing in new life to us, we have to stay connected to the source. We cannot go out on an island, as it were, and not be connected to the main source of land in that case, or in this case, talking about a vine and branches. We cannot expect to stay, to get the strength we need. We cannot expect to get the resources we need if we are out alone and not staying connected to the source of strength. Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We put off these old things, and we let God do that renewal in our lives that will result in righteousness and true holiness. And that is how we grow. We let God breathe in new life to us. And we may say, how do we stay connected? How do we abide in Christ? And just a few things. I mean, there could be many things. But as we think of keeping God's word as our source of truth, we keep prayers our lifeline to the Father. We find strength in coming together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we have these times of growth, as the Spirit leads us to more truth, and we experience these times of sanctification in our lives, we continue to bear more fruit with that new life that has been breathed into our spiritual lives. So for growth, I must experience God breathing new life into me spiritually. So as we think of growth, our growth depends on our intake. And my other point along with that is our growth depends on intake. Am I taking in contamination? One of the things I have to do when I go take that physical is I have to take a drug test. They want to make sure I'm not taking in bad things. They want to make sure I'm not taking in things that will impair my driving, things that will cause me to be unsafe on the road. Go to verse 9. Paul here wanted the people there at Colossae to be filled with good things like the knowledge of God. Verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," this Paul speaking here, talking about since he heard of this church here, "do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." He wanted them to be filled with something that was going to build them up, not something that was going to tear them down. What I take into my life can greatly affect my spiritual health. If I am just out there trying to take in what the world has to offer when it comes to spiritual food to feed my spiritual life, I likely will become weak and sick. In contrast to that thought, is Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Instead of being filled to the excess with things that don't help our growth, things that don't help us Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God fill our lives with that health and strength that only He can provide. So as we think of growing and our growth depends on our intake. It depends on what we take in. We think of maybe small children, even us as adults, we got to watch what we take in as well, you know? We have to take in the right things in order to grow. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." We think of eating and drinking as something that fills us, thinking that nourishes us. So we think of filling our spiritual lives. Fill your life with things that bring glory to God. Things that will nourish you. Things that will help you grow. Things that will bring you up on that growth chart in your spiritual life. 2 Peter 2 verses 1 to 3 say, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." We need to lay aside those things that would stunt our growth. But we, in turn, we need to desire the milk of the word that we may grow. So we want, as we think of our intake, we have to take in things that will help our growth, not stunt our growth. So as we think of growth, our growth depends on our intake. All right, so now we're to walk. Walk worthy of the Lord. And I have also an increase in the knowledge of the Lord. We go to verse 10 in our text. He continues on from verse 9. He says, we tells them that they might be filled with the knowledge, in verse 9, of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. But He wanted this so that, in verse 10, that they might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He wanted them to be filled, in verse 9, so that, in verse 10, they could walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. This is why Paul wanted them to first be filled with the knowledge of God so they could be walk worthy of the Lord, so they continue to be fruitful in everything they did, and also so they continue to grow in the knowledge of God. We do not want to stay small, as it were, in our spiritual life. We want to experience growth. And why is that? We want to walk worthy of the Lord. Verse 11, we grow as we continue to let God strengthen us with His power. Verse 11 says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. And we think of, maybe we should just clarify this right here in verse 11. As we think of growing spiritually, as it says here, it is only through His power. It is only through the power of God that we can do that. It's not something we can do on our own. We cannot push ourselves, as it were, to the top of the growth chart in our spiritual lives on our own. Here in verse 11, it says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. It is only through the power of God that we can grow spiritually. As we grow as we continue to let God strengthen us with His power. It is only through His power we can expect to exercise patience and long-suffering in our lives and be able to possess these qualities with joyfulness. Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How do I walk worthy of the Lord? If I'm looking for growth, how do I walk worthy of the Lord? Well, for number one, or for starters, you could say, we don't walk in darkness anymore. We now walk in the light because we are now the children of light. As this verse says, ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So how do we walk worthy of the Lord? At first, we don't walk in darkness anymore. We now walk in the light. You can flip a page over to chapter 2 in Colossians. Verse 6 and 7 says, similar thought, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We walk worthy of the Lord by first being rooted and then growing in Christ. This is how we become established in the faith. We start out by being rooted and then growing. So for growth, I must strive to walk worthy of the Lord. As we think of spiritual health and growth, our walk, we must walk worthy. For growth, we need to walk worthy of the Lord. As we think of to grow, we must exercise. If we want growth in our spiritual lives to grow, we must exercise. And what I have with that is lazy Christians can become lost Christians. Is that too harsh? Listen to these verses in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. And to me, these can be sobering verses as we think of growth, as we think of growth in our lives. It says in chapter 5, starting at verse 12 in Hebrews 5, it says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So as we think of growth, we must exercise. And I ask the question, am I staying at the bottom of the growth chart when it comes to my physical health? Or am I exercising that, that I know how to discern both good and evil? And I think I should have said spiritual health there. Am I staying at the bottom of the growth chart when it comes to my spiritual health? Am I just staying there at the bottom, just bumping along, you know, just getting what I can from other people and not really, you know, trying to grow myself, not exercising? Here it says in those verses in Hebrews, "For the time when you ought to be teachers, you need one that teach you again." And that's a very, to me, seems a sobering thought. "For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again." How am I doing on my growth chart? Am I growing? Am I allowing God to breathe new life into me? Am I walking worthy of the Lord so that I am not still a babe and in need of milk, but I'm able to use meat so I can exercise my senses to discern both good and evil? Verse 13 in our text, "We have been delivered from the power of darkness. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And we could think of, you know, once we get to the top of that growth chart in a physical sense, once we get to the top of that growth chart, then we have to maybe come back down the growth chart. We have to start watching it. And if I, you know, want to go on a diet to lose a few pounds, that is great and I can do that. But if I get lazy, I'll revert back. I'll revert back to, you know, weighing more than I want to weigh, or being, you know, I don't feel energetic and I feel too lazy. So same as in our spiritual life, you know, we can try to grow, but if we don't maintain, if we don't exercise, if we don't do anything to exercise our senses, as it were, to discern both good and evil, we will revert back to those, where it talks about in those verses, we likely will revert back to those exercising, you know, the powers of darkness or being involved in things we shouldn't be involved in. And I could use a lot of words and talk a few minutes and try to encourage you how to not to be lazy and all that. But I want to take you to a few verses in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, and see what they say here. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17 says, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And we could just take those two words there and contrast them. We think as a fool, how does a fool walk? Well, in verse 16, he would not redeem the time. He would not realize that the days are evil. He would be unwise. He would not worry about what the will of the Lord is. But in contrast, thinking of somebody that is wise, we will redeem the time because we realize we live in evil times. And we will not be unwise, but we will understand what the will of the Lord is. And I believe this can only come as we look for growth and as we exercise, we want to understand what the will of the Lord is for our lives. We could also think of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 after it lists those fruit of the Spirit, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And to me, that could give the idea of continuing in those things, exercising those things, not just, you know, we experience conversion and we try to learn how to do all those things, but we continue on in each of those things as we grow in our spiritual lives. In verse 29 of this chapter of Colossians, we didn't go down that far, but the end of that chapter, it gives an interesting verse there. He says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. As we think of Paul as being, you know, this great evangelist, this great person, this fellow that could go out and start churches, and as he labored and as he did many great things for the Lord, he couldn't be lazy. He had to keep contending. He acknowledged the mighty working of the Christ in his life. So as we think of his example of not only giving them encouragement, but also acknowledging in his life, he had to keep growing as well. And in verse 23 of chapter 1 there, as we think of growth, we have to exercise, and we think of not being lazy, but being active, exercising. Verse 23 there brings out a picture of growth that I believe leads to stability and structure in our lives. Growth that'll keep us anchored in the faith. Verse 23 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. How do we become grounded and settled? It's not by being lazy. It's not by staying at the bottom of the growth chart. If we're going to be grounded and settled and be able to get to a place where we're not going to be easily moved away, we're going to have to exercise. We're going to have to grow. We're going to have to look for God breathing a new life into us. And we're going to have to be striving to walk worthy of the Lord in order to be grounded and settled and be not moved away. So as we think of growth, we have looked at God has to come first, God breathing in new life. Our growth depends on our intake. We need to walk worthy of the Lord. We need to grow. We must exercise. And the last one, heaven, is our goal. Growth is essential in reaching our destination. We aren't staying here. We have somewhere to go. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, across the page there says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That is our goal. We are not here merely to be good people in society. We're that too. But we're not here just striving along, you know, using diligence, trying to be the best people we can. We have a goal in mind, and for our spiritual health and growth, I believe we need to have a goal. In our physical lives, as we think of a physical growth chart, we have a goal in mind. We have, you know, 6 foot or beyond. You know, we're looking to mature in that physical growth, and just in our spiritual life, we have a goal in mind. We have somewhere to go. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Heaven is our goal. We do not plan to stay here. We want to keep growing. And just as we talked about on the growth chart, we're looking for maturity. In our spiritual lives, we are looking for vibrant growth because we are looking ahead to our goal of eternity with the Father in heaven. Revelation 3, verse 21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Do you want to be an overcomer this morning? Continue to grow in your spiritual life. We are growing, and our goal in growth is to one day overcome and be around there, the Father's throne. Praise God for that promise. Do you have goals this morning? Do you have heaven as your goal this morning? So I believe for growth, we need a goal we can strive for. So as we think this morning of our spiritual health and growth, checking to see, are we growing? We think of growth as God rejuvenating our walk to heaven. Or we could ask the question, is God, or are we letting God rejuvenate our walk to heaven? God has to always come first. We think of God rejuvenation as God breathing a new life. We think of our growth depends on our intake. Our walk, we need to walk worthy of the Lord. To grow, we must exercise. And finally, we have a goal. Heaven is our goal. Spiritual health is essential, so examine yourself looking for growth. May God be glorified as we strive to grow in our Christian lives. May God bless each one of you this morning. Brother Josh has a word or two for us yet.